fire engines coming down the road because the neighbours opposite, well, the builders decided to come in, who owned this property, to gut the whole land and take all the trees out. Instead of using a woodcutter, they decided to have a bonfire. They started at 9:30, at 11 o'clock the first fire engines arrived to find out what all this fire was, because you couldn't go outside the house. You were covered in this the stuff, and it made my cough worse. And then in the afternoon, I was getting a bit tired of this because the fires were about 15 foot in the air and they're taking down about 20 trees. And I saw the firemen come around again with meters. They'd been out the back. So I decided that now getting to 3:30, I had enough. So I went and knocked on the door. Because at this point, the builders had gone and still this fire was raging in the garden. And there's four kids, and the little child came out, 10-year-old, and said, "Oh, Mummy's in bed asleep." And Dad was had gone off ill. So I said, "Well, can you just tell her I'm just going to ring the police and the fire brigade to get them to come out?" So she went, "Okay." Open door later, I said, "We didn't like the fire." I said, "Not blame it." And then the fire brigade came, I explained, and they spent 30 minutes putting this fire out. And the whole of our estate is up in arms because there's ash everywhere. And this morning, the fire is still steaming. So my prep has been quite difficult. And then this morning, I'm on my own. The thermostat machine doesn't work. We couldn't find the songs, Eddie and I. We had problems with the stereo. And you just think, Lord, why is this happening? And you wonder. And my subject this morning is looking at home sweet home. A bit light to start with, and I feel a bit guilty now, because we all imagine having the perfect home, don't we? This is what some people said about homes. Jane Austen said, "There's nothing like staying at home for real comfort. There's no place like your own bed." We pay lots of money to go abroad, and Louise comes home and says, "Oh, it's so nice to be in my own bed. Why did we go away in the first place and have backache?" George Washington, some Americans said, "I'd rather be on my farm than emperor of the world." Kathleen Norris said, "Peace." That was the other name for home. Jerome K. Jerome, famous guy. "I want a house that's got over its troubles. I don't want to spend the rest of my life bringing up a young and inexperienced house." Now that's an interesting one. Joyce Maynard, "A good home must be made, not bought." Well, tell that to my mortgage company. Emily Dickinson, "Where thou art, that is home. Home is any four walls that enclose the right person." Mother Teresa, "Love begins by taking care of the closest ones at home." And finally, Benjamin Franklin, "A house is not a home unless it contains food and fire for the mind as well as the body." And yet we all want the perfect family, the 2.4 children. We all want it, and perhaps your family's not quite like that. Perhaps you're not like the normal family. You've got a few geeks and freaks. This is John's family, not mine, in case you're wondering. And as he's not here, I can say that. And that's when he goes completely bald. Right, okay. But for most of us, we feel like a work in progress when it comes to our home. And it struck me is that as I've been looking at this, what to talk about, you know, we need to improve the homes we live in. You know, there's plenty of advice, I've used this slide before, of all the magazines out there that we can learn about our homes. But actually, I don't want to talk about your physical home. I'm not interested. I'm more interested in who you are. That's actually what I want to talk about this morning. And I'd like to play you a video, so if we could have some sound. But it's not fair on me to talk about you when you don't know who I am. During my business career, I had two psychometric tests. The idea of a psychometric test is to discover what your character and personality is like in a particular situation. The first one was I was on a project management course in Cambridge about 20 years ago. And we were looking how to run projects, you know, big multi-million pound projects. And so at the end of the week, they did this psychometric test. They asked you various questions and you had various options to tick which described you. And they said there's three types of people when it comes to projects. There's a catalyst. This is a person who's got lots of ideas, lots of visions, you know, thinking about this and how we could do that. And they've always got a new idea every other day. The next one's an organiser. An organiser is a character, man or woman, who likes to get things done or get things organised, get the processes in place. And the problem is, a catalyst can run and be an MD of a company, managing director. And so could an organiser be a managing director of a company. And what you get, if you get, say, a catalyst as the managing director and, say, the organiser as the finance director, you've got the finance director trying to keep organising this man who's got these ideas and visions. And the third character is called a maintainer. And what they said was, you might be a catalyst number one, a maintainer number two, An organiser one or a maintainer number two. Or you might be a maintainer number one doing the actual work in the slog with a bit of catalyst in you number two, such like. And so we did our work, handed it in. At the end of the day, they hand them back out with what they thought. So they're going around explaining this, and I said, excuse me, I have a problem. I'm marked as catalyst number one, a man of ideas, and number two, I'm an organiser. And the two men who organised the project course said, yes, that worried us. We've never, ever seen that before in anybody, Barry. You are different. You must spend your whole time arguing with yourself. Which I thought was strange. And then some years later, when I finished that company, I applied for a job. And they said, well, first thing, we need to have a psychometric test on you. So I need to go to this man's house, which I went to, the agent. And they gave me 20 questions, or 20 statements. They said, here's a statement, and there's four words. Tick which word describes you the best, the most, and which word describes you the least. So I did my 20 questions in 5 minutes. He faxed it off, and 20 minutes later came back the results. My sheet and his sheet. And mine was a page of A4, which described me absolutely perfectly. I will not tell you what it said. But it says, I don't suffer fools gladly. If you can't do the work, I'll take over and do it myself. And they went through all this, and it was spot on me. And the guy had this worried expression. I said, what's wrong? Your psychometric results are a bit strange. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what we discover with people is they have one characteristics at home, personality at home, and when they go to work, they change their characteristics. But you are the same at home and the same in business. We've never, ever seen that before. You are different. And I've lived with this shadow over me that I am different. But it struck me that I don't want to talk about the home in which you have your bricks and mortar, but you are a home where the living presence of God lives. It says this in Acts. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And does not live in temples built by human hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. It goes on to say in Isaiah, this is what the Lord says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will be my resting place? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all things? And so they come into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favour. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and that tremble at my word. And this idea that I am the home of the all-powerful, the mighty creator, living God, dwells in me, suddenly has a responsibility. Because I become a freak of human nature. When I became a Christian, I became different. I became a freak and a geek at the same time. And some of you are more freakish than others, and some are more geeky. What I mean is, I'm a freak of a human planet which has denied God. So to the rest of the world, I am different. And actually, hallelujah, viva la difference, because I'm more now in tune with what God wants than I was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. I'm also a geek. I'm interested in God. I want to find out more about him. I've got a desire to learn about him, to seek him out and do what he says. I'm happy to be a geek and freak for God. And I'm happy to people to say, you're very different, Barry. You don't fit the normal mold. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labor is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stand and watch in vain. I'm so pleased that Vicky and Malcolm had a girl. I've been praying for that. And it's just wonderful. And this little girl is now helpless and dependent upon them, her mum and dad, particularly mum at this time. And she's going to grow up in a wonderful family. They're a great couple, Vicky and Malcolm, and the two kids, Alex and Daniel. She's going to grow up because of what her father and mother are going to teach her. And that's what that's all about, is the fact that as I've grown up, my father My heavenly Father oversees the building work. He looks after my plumbing. He looks after the materials that you use. And when something's not right, he will cut it out and rebuild it and make sure it's perfect. Because the Bible tells me, I am unique in God's eyes. I am his favourite child. And yet we can all say that. Because a favourite child is when it has undivided attention of the Father. And each of us have that undivided attention of the Father. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You can actually say in the playground, my dad's bigger than your dad. You want to pick a fight, this is my dad you're talking about. How precious God sees the home that he has in your life. If anybody tries to destroy you, God will intervene. But God has taken out a mortgage on your home. He paid the biggest price going in his own son, Jesus Christ, on a cross. He paid the price to own your home. I look around you and I see people far more worthy than me. I've met Christians who are so holy, I just feel in awe. John's father was one of those, Bill. John's gone to see Bill's sister. A godly family. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? God dwells in your life. So when people say to your family friends, you are different, you go, too right I'm different. Too right I'm different. Hallelujah, because I am filled with the Spirit of God. And that phrase is, wherever I put my feet, there is my home. No matter what house I go into, I bring my caravan of God. Because we are caravanners. Our home is mobile. We can move around. We're not fixed. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. Members of his house are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In him, the whole building is joined together. In fact, I'm a terraced house. I'm a terraced house. And you are my neighbours. We are linked by brickwork, masonry. And do you know what? If you don't look after your house, it affects my house also. It lowers the value of my house when you don't look after your house. Because my house is in top condition. As you can see from my psychometric tests, I'm different. The world acknowledges it. I've got unique qualities. I can run companies. I can do this. But I look around at you and think, God, you've got some masonry. Those window frames need working on. Those windows need cleaning. But actually, we're in this together. Because we all represent the temple of God. We all represent the very presence of God in our lives, that when people look through the windows, they see some fantastic lighting sequences. When they knock on your door and you let them in, it's incredible what they can discover. The only problem is, as that video shows, we put on masks because we feel awkward and embarrassed about people seeing the real me. Because if you knew, well, the devil says, they may not like you anymore. If they knew, they may walk around the other side of the chairs. If they knew, they may even cross the other side of the road. That's what the devil says. What God says, if your friends knew what you were really like, they can pray for you. They can talk with you. They can encourage you. They can minister to you. Because they are filled like you with the presence of the living God. So when you cut off your people, friends around you in this church, you're also cutting God off. There we go. Out the mouth of a babe. Absolutely so. Is the fact that we are terraced houses joined together. You are the temple of God. Your home is the very place that God wants to dwell in. And God recognizes you are a work in progress. God recognizes that your home perhaps need a lot of work. He might look at your home and think, where others have given up on you, this is where I roll up my sleeves. This is where I get out my toolbox and I am in for the long haul. And God gets the plans out of what he's going to do in your life. He says, yep, I need to knock down that wall. I need to do this. I need to decorate here. But God has a long-term plan. He's not in it for profit. He's not in it for a quick sale or a quick, I'm going to get out of this project and recoup my money. God says, when I came into your life, I came in for eternity. And the fact you may not like yourself, do not say that to me, because I love you. I bought your property because I see so much potential. I've already decorated the bedrooms and chosen the curtains because I see so much I can do in your home. That when your home is done as I want it to be, people are going to be astounded with what they see. We know Galatians well, but it says at the end in bold there, Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. That is so different to the rest of the world. That is so opposite to what normal people like at work and in families. The greed, the selfishness. It's the complete opposite. It is so selfish. But they are the qualities of God in your life. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The series is about some simple things. It's no rocking science, no rocket science. My time, my gifts, my money, my home. But it's all I have to offer God. When I consider how much God has paid to save me, how much God has given, invested time in my life in these last 60 odd years, I can't put a value on it. But even I can see a difference in my decor. When I hint in my household that I need to buy some new clothes, one woman stands on my left side and another woman stands on my right side. And my daughter and my wife say, whoa, you want to buy clothes? No, you don't have ideas. We will choose it for you. And I just get told what I'm wearing. Even when I get up, Louise will go, you can't wear that shirt with that. But I've always worn it. I know, it still looks terrible. They have a vested interest in me to make sure I look my best. And I personally, Barry Wales, have a vested interest in each of you. That you look your best. I know some that could be a tall order. But God says, I'm so proud of you, I want you to look your best. I want to show you off to my friends and to the world when they'll say, you are so different. And you can say, it's all because of God. Because I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's filled me, he's changing me, he's redecorated, he's building extensions, he's knocking down walls, he's doing things I would never have believed. All because he loves me. My time has a value. The gifts I've got from my psychometric tests are there, available to God. My money is his. But most of all, my home is his. The life, this shell I'm in, is his to do as he wishes. And that is the biggest challenge of these 4 weeks. Because I can give a bit of time, I can give a few of my gifts, I can sprinkle some money on the altar. But my body is something quite different. I've always owned it. There are things inside this head and mind which you know nothing about. But God knows everything. And God says, but I'm still working at it. I know you're a work in progress, but you're my work in progress. I know you see all the problems that you have, Barry, but I just see the potential. I know you keep looking in that dirty room down there and think, well, however you're going to sort that out. And I just say, Lord, my father says, I have a plan. Just trust me, don't panic. We'll get round to that room when you're ready. And I suppose the question in closing is, do you trust your master builder? Do you trust your landlord? Do you trust the home owner? Do you trust that the colours that God wants to paint your life, that you're going to be happy with? Do you trust the God the way he's going to decorate your house may not be to your liking? Do you trust God that he won't ask you to do things that he knows you can't do? Do you trust God? Well, I suppose that's it. Do you trust God with all that you have? It's not like putting all your money on number 13 on a roulette wheel. It's trusting to the creator of the universe, of mankind, and everything we see around us. And most of all, the creator of you, who saw you in the womb. And like we are smiling when we're going to see this baby, Jessica, God smiled when you were created. And God just waited and waited until that time when you gave your life to Christ. And God turned around and said, angels, let's party. My child has come home. I love the song, Jesus, Jesus. How could we sing it? I just love those words. The simplicity of Jesus and his spirit and those waters and that description in that refrain just get me excited, because I know what Barry Wales was like through my life. And God said, give me a chance and see what I can do. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll hand back to Martin. Lord, I thank you that each of us have given our lives to you. And our home, this body we live in, is yours also, to do with as you will. Lord, help me hear your voice and not the enemy's. Lord, let me hear only your plans and not the deception of the enemy. Let me know your will and not theirs. Let me, Lord, keep in step with your spirit and not wander off. Help me, Lord, to hold your hand and never, ever let go. Lord, your plan's perfect. I may not get it or understand it, but Lord, help me to trust you. And with my hands outreached, Lord, all that I have is yours.